Want to immerse yourself in sport and the stories of athletes from across the Pacific? Well, join me, Sam Wykes, alongside some of the most talented journalists and sports commentators from across the region for Fresh Off the Field. Each week, we'll also bring you interviews with Pacific athletes leaving their mark on the international stage and those aspiring to do the same. From cricket to netball, athletics to football, and everything in between. Listen to Fresh Off the Field on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Ginny Rao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, Keta and kia ora to all our PNG listeners, because I have woken up to some huge news in the Rugby League world. But welcome everyone to Niche and Footy First, the best place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. As always, my name is Tinero Aruna, and I'm joined here with my co-e, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, what about that news we woke up to this morning?
Oh man, Joey Manu, he's finished with rugby, done and dusted. He collected some yen, he collected some euro. Now I think he's going to get some kina. No, what's
kina.
Is it kina? Yeah, the kina. PNG dollars, yes. But what an amazing signing. I thought the 007 was going to be for a halfback, but they've got Joey Manu, and we'll talk about that at the top of rugby league when we get to it. But we do have a big show planned. Obviously, NRL round 25, it has wrapped up, and some surprise results in that one. We'll talk about the All Blacks in South Africa test match that went on over the weekend in Ellis Park over there. Amazing, that one. And of course, Shelley Long will join us for a chat around round 8 of NRLW.
Yeah, it's getting through the season pretty quick. They've got 3 more games left in the NRLW, but we'll also have a very, very special guest.
I forgot about that. We do have a guest as well. Nation I forgot 40. About that one. Really, it's a big guest.
You can't read in bold
can't
here,
read past
guest,
that
and
nah,
then his name here.
Forgot.
But last week we got to interview a family member of mine, Lima Sopawanga. He is former All Black, but he's also travelled over to South Africa to play a role in the All Blacks content. And to hear about his transition from a current player to now presenter, content creator, and doing work with the All Blacks. It's been, someone as a family member, you know, quite proud to see his transition. We got to interview him late last week before the game. He had to wake up at 6 a.m. in South Africa, but man, just to hear his experience, to be able to go to South Africa, hear his story about how he transitioned, and he also got to train with the great man himself, Ardie Savea.
So Lima helped Ardie Savea prepare for one of the biggest test matches of his career. Like, it was amazing.
That's a funny story. Yeah.
That's a good one. So stick around for that. But also, man, he's doing an amazing job in that transition space and creating content and telling stories, and especially like rugby union type of stories from behind the scenes that I feel like is needed in this day and age. Maybe it's been there a little bit, but it's been so heavily focused on footy and results, where he's really drawn out the personality of players. And I feel like he's just paved this way, and he's going to have a long, successful career in the content game. But that chat with Lima Sopawanga will be on later on the show. But first up, we're going to get to some rugby league news.
Hey, I'm Dila Salva, and I'm listening to Niche and Footy.
PNG Chiefs,
they do
player
it again.
007. Yes, they just continue to deliver to the rugby league world, and they have signed a Cook Island Kiwi great in Joey Manu. Joey comes with 2 NRL premierships. He also comes with 181 NRL games with the Roosters, a lot of experience, and 17 test matches for the New Zealand Kiwis. On top of that, in the last couple of years, he's been playing rugby union in Japan and France. And do you think of his career, he will be playing in PNG Chiefs at the age of 31 years old by the time he puts that jersey on. Plenty of petrol left in that tank.
Absolutely. And the stints in rugby union in Japan and in France, they would have given him a lot more longevity at the back end of his career. Not that like it wasn't, he wouldn't have trained hard or was hard, or it wasn't hard, but Like, he was over there and he got freshened right up, got whatever he needs to do to be able to enjoy rugby league again. I reckon it would have been planned. And now he gets to go over to the PNG Chiefs and add to their legacy and story that they want to tell. But I think it's a great signing on this one.
And I'm just looking at the names here. Like, that's a pretty solid back line when you've got Alex Johnston on the wing with Brian To'o,
yep,
Zach Lomax, Joey Manu at centre. You know, yes, they are missing a halfback. They got Jerome Luai there to steer the ship at six, and then Connor Watson and Matt Elise as well,
yep,
playing their role. So, you know, I think that once they get that fullback and also a halfback and then some big middles, damn, they could potentially win the competition in the first year of ever joining the NRL. But it's just some great news, and I dare say that there'll be some plenty big signings to come if we're looking at this list of players.
And you think the age bracket of a lot of those players, because obviously they're not coming in until 2028, so there's still, you know, a lot of time in between them playing their first game, and a lot of them will be like in their 30s, like early 30s by the time they kick off. Do you feel like that's something that is concerning, the age factor, or it's the right move at the start of their entry into the competition?
Yeah, I think it's needed.
Yeah,
to have, and if you bring up a great point, Joey Manu, a family man, Jerome Beza, family man, Joey Manu coming out, you know, into his 30s, bringing that experience and maturity within the group, because, you know, they're going to be flying over to PNG and staying over there and with the families. If you're, you know, just starting your career and you're, you know, early 20s or just coming out of school, you're still learning how to become a man.
Yeah, that's very true, man.
You're still having to learn
very
different lessons. So,
sort of like during the Dolphins took that approach, didn't they? They signed all the old heads from
the older heads like Felice and
Melbourne,
the Bromwich
Storm,
brothers.
And that, look at their success now, it's set them up having those old guys in there. So,
yeah.
Not a bad approach.
But there's also a really cool piece there with PNG and the Cook Islands, Joey Manu being a Cook Islander. And, you know, I've mentioned it here on our show. The Cook Island, back in the day, Cook Island missionaries went over to PNG. And
I want to say it was Hanawabara.
Yeah, it is.
Hanawabara? Yeah,
that was one of the villages.
One of the villages?
That was the village. And they left a piece of their culture, the Cook Island culture, in that village. So every time the Cook Island international team goes back, they go back to that village, and the locals are singing songs in the Cook Island native language.
Yeah.
So there's the real strong cultural connection piece there. And, you know, the people of PNG will love a player of Joey Manu, not only because of the great player he is, but also that Cook Island connection with PNG.
You're not wrong. So, yeah, the Perth Bears. Any signings?
Oh, come on, man.
Sorry, man. I just thought I'd chuck that in there.
Sorry to all the Perth Bears fans out there. But, yeah, great news for Joey Manu, and we'll continue to update everyone on the signings of PNG Chiefs, but also the Perth Bears when they continue to come in. Let's get on to some more rugby league. But before we get to there, you are listening to Nijan Footy with Tinito Aruna and Sammy Wykes. Round 25. We've only got two more rounds left before the finals. At round 25, looking at the NRL ladder, team number 1, 2, and 3 all have the same amount of points, so they're all equal first. But the thing that that makes the difference is the points difference. So, you know, how many points they score, and then how many points they concede, they get the difference. And the Warriors are on top of the ladder by 1 point above the Penrith Panthers. They got a win in Sydney over the Rabbitohs, 45-26. But my moment of this game, there was two moments, actually. My first moment was Dallin Watine-Zelezniak. He made he got the ball, got slammed onto the ground, threw the ball back in, but when he hit the ground, he ended up breaking his collarbone. So he's in a world of hurt. He's in pain. He's holding the shoulder. He's looking at the sideline. He's about to walk off to the bench. And then as he looked up, the ball was starting to make its way back to his corner. So he's on the sideline. He then sees the ball coming towards his position. He starts sprinting back into position. The ball gets to him, and he scores a try with a broken collarbone. And then the other play, the other moment, I know you like this one because you brought it up off air, Sammy. Why don't you talk us through this?
I'm turning that way. Monga, look long, play short. It's one of my favorite moves or favorite plays to see someone do. Just reminding me of our good friend Masari Yosefa out of dummy half. He'll just fake the defenders with his eyes and his head and his body language. Look like he's going out the back, going long. And just throws it short.
Here's the Warriors now. Bring it out of their own territory. And with a run is what Nasir Lesniak caught on his 20. Played to Wigan. Goes left to Vaimonga. Oh. Then a brilliant short ball away. Warriors head over halfway. Can he find him? Oh, he can! Iremia Tuava gets the pass on the inside to Chanel Harris-Tavita. And it's a try. That is brilliant.
And then the final game that I want to touch on, I think this one is the upset of the year. It hurts me to say it because it was against the Roosters. The Tigers beat the Sydney Roosters 25 points to 24. Yes, by one field goal, two tries to the Samoan winger, Jarrell Skelton. And I thought their skipper, Api Kotosau, was outstanding at hooker there, just the way that he could come out. Whenever he's playing good, the Tigers are playing good, and Api was a big player in this game. He also scored a try himself, but it was Jock Madden who kicked the field goal in the 78th minute to win the game. But what a game from the Tigers.
I know, man. It'd be frustrating as a Tigers fan, as players, that you can beat the team that's was coming first on that ladder like that in tough games. But then you can string of performances and obviously being the up and down season that they've had. So like, there's a lot of positives if they can string it together for a full season, have some consistency.
I will give another shout out to Solomon Salkuru. He scored another try.
So what's that? That's three tries in 2 weeks.
Three tries in 2 weeks. And geez, he just looks...
Fijians know how to score tries, don't they?
He can score a try, but he also looks well when he runs the ball. Just that balance that he has on his feet. I'd be keen to have him on Nijan Footy because he's also represented Fiji, and I dare say that he get picked for the World Cup team.
Troyes out, left to Luai, short ball Samuela, finally links up and Bulla, he's over the 30, beats one, finally got the pass to his left, Sol Sakuru, he dives over in the corner, two games for this young bloke, three tries in the NRL.
Only two more round games, Sammy, and we'll preview this weekend's game on Friday on Nijan Footy. But that will be me for Rugby League for now. And don't be surprised if there'll be some further news during this week that we can update everyone on Friday in regards to Rugby League. But let's shift over to Rugby Union.
Hello, my name's Alana Sikimedi and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, Rugby Union. And it's timely that we had your cousin Lima on as well for the chat, obviously being in South Africa. With the All Blacks over there at the moment, and they had their first test match against South Africa, Ellis Park, 62,000 people at this game. Honestly, this is one of those ones, the game delivered, but it was a game-recognising game. Like, both teams, heavyweights, put on a show.
Yeah, there's a lot of respect there with these two teams, and 62,000 people watching this live at the stadium. One thing I always go to whenever the All Blacks play, though, is the first thing I will look up on YouTube is the haka.
Yes.
Because I just love watching the energy and how they do the haka, but also the response from the other team. And
yep.
You mentioned 62,000 people. I don't know how one man can have that much of an influence. I believe the coach asked them to respect the haka and there was silence during this one.
Yeah, man. Honestly, I love that. Like Rassie Rasmus, the South African coach, mate, he's treated like a god there because he's delivered two World Cups. Was it three? Oh, anyway, he's done pretty well over there and he's united the country. And that's what rugby does in South Africa. They unite the whole country because of the history behind it. But he got on the front foot before the test match in his press conference asking the crowd to stay silent. Don't boo, don't make noise during the haka, because he just wanted everyone to recognize this spectacle and respect what was going on. Because it's bigger than everyone. Like, this was a moment to be able to, for everyone to enjoy without having any external noise. Because there was a bit of a trend happening and it was coming from, I would say, Europe and in the UK, where they started booing the haka.
What are your thoughts on that?
Don't like it at all. Yeah. I don't care what you think of if they think the haka is an advantage because it's a way of emotionally getting an upper hand compared to the opposition. The players that stand in front of them, they say they get emotional about it too, and it gives them an upper hand as well because they're like, yeah, we're on. It's like it's something that should be respected, and I think now after Rassie set the precedence there, it should be followed around the world about not disrespecting the haka and staying silent during it.
Yeah, I've got to face the New Zealand Kiwis doing the haka. As an opponent, when you're standing there watching the New Zealand team do the haka, it gives you goosebumps.
Yeah.
And it gives you this rush of like, okay, I accept your challenge, because you see the passion and that they try to put fear in your eyes. But if anything, it gives you more passion on your end, and I'm there going, yeah, I want all that smoke.
I would stare at the halfback and go, yeah, I want that smoke against the halfback. I'm not looking at any of the big boys do it, no way.
But it's just cool to see, you know, one man have such an influence over 62,000 people and have that whole crowd silent and respecting the haka and just enjoying that moment, respecting that moment.
But I think, like, just, yeah, again, having someone like him come out and say that, and then people respecting his decision, because, you know, as coaches, sometimes they go, bro, I don't care about the opposition. We'll make it as hostile as possible just to get the win. But he respected the rivalry and respected the game and what it brings to making sure that, hey, let's get on and let the business be the business with the footy.
Let's get to the footy.
And so,
how was it?
Man, honestly, when you think about the way both teams play, they brought their A game in terms of their style of footy. Like, with Union compared to rugby league, like, everything's contested, you know, the possession, you know, like breakdown, line out, scrum, the aerial battle from box kicks to kickoffs, you know. So like with the South Africans, they like to win that possession game through their scrum and their aerial game. And mate, they were pumping the All Blacks scrum. Like, it was a tough day to be a front rower as an All Black.
Are they bigger?
They are massive, bro.
The South African
forwards? Yeah, they're all $1.40, 140 kegs.
So in terms of weight difference compared to the All Blacks, how much heavier would they be?
I wouldn't say it would be too different, but it's the way that they, I don't want to bore you with technique, but the way that they shift their weight together. And when you're scrummaging, the most important thing is how low you can sink to the ground with your hips and knees and keeping your chest and almost like looking like a tabletop, and you draw pressure through the ground by digging your toes in the ground and then getting forward.
So the angle can't come up, the angle can't go down
because it's got to go
everyone's
through.
Aligned.
Everyone's aligned. So it's the way you move your weight together, and they're just so dominant at doing that. And they got so many scrum penalties off the back of it. But on the other side with the All Blacks, even though they were trying to withhold that pressure, their ability to use their skill set, get the ball to space, and let their players just cook in a sense where, bro, their sharpness with their passing ability, like playing down the short side, the ball Vati, playing on the edges as a back rower, you know, Ruben Love, Jordy Barrett, like it was just so slick with their skill set, and they were able to find ways to be able to scramble and then score points. Like they won the game 33-16, but the South Africans were up. And probably the turning point was at the 50th minute mark, where the All Blacks were up 19-16. They were pumping the All Blacks scrum. They went, instead of going for the 3 points and getting the penalties, they go scrum again. And they just had to withhold that pressure. Then they got big Asofa Omua come on as their hooker, lock down the scrum. ABs end up getting a penalty, and that was a turning point. And then the All Blacks ran away with it towards the back end. But honestly, like a really, really dominant performance from a point of view of both teams bringing their style of footy. South Africa probably need to clean up their skill set when they did try and use the ball, but their aerial skill set was first class. And then for the All Blacks, what they're going to be careful of, if South Africa do click and get their passing game right, they're going to score tries because they made a lot of line breaks, the South Africans. But yeah, great contest. Artie Savea was like, you know, I think whoever said those comments around, oh, it was a wrong call leaving him at home, give yourself an uppercut.
How was he?
Outstanding, played the whole 80, set up this try because South Africa did get 2 yellow cards. Bro, threw this long ball at the back of the scrum at 8, boom, over to the winger, scores in the corner. But like, he was everywhere. For a guy that played it, hadn't played in, say, like 5 weeks, altitude, goes and plays 80 and kills it.
So, who was a standout for you?
I liked Dubovati, the back row. I thought he was unreal, and I thought the subs came on with Almua and George Bauer. I thought that was the difference when they came on, because they were behind at the time, make those tactical subs, came on, they got the job done. But that's us for Rugby Union, bro, until we touch base with NEMS on Friday.
Sweet. Let's shift over to Shelley Long and get an update on NRLW.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Yes, joining us on Nijam Footy Mondays is Shelley Long to discuss all things NRLW. The PNG Orchid herself. Shelley, how's your week been?
It's going good. You know, it's always good when you start back on a Monday. Our team got the win on the weekend, which, you know, puts smiles on faces, especially mine.
Oh, man. I wish our friend Tiana Penatani had that. Tiana Penatani Gray, sorry. Would have had that feeling. Man, the bottom lip is on the floor. The stones are getting kicked, and I feel the pain too, because, you know, on the weekend I didn't get the job done as well. So anyway, so I'm glad you're on a high, Shell. That's the most important thing. Who did you play and what was the score?
So we played the Rockhampton Capras and we ended up winning. Oh gosh, I can't even remember, but we won.
Who cares? That's we won. That's the main thing.
As long as you won.
As long as you're winning.
But the you mentioned Tiana. She plays for the Cronulla Sharks, and geez, I didn't see this one coming. The Parramatta Eels beating the Sharkies 42 points to 16. Did you catch this game, Shell?
I did. Unfortunately, I caught it last night, and it was a bit of a tough grind for the Sharks. 42 points to 16. The poor Sharkies out there, they look quite frustrated, and they had a few changes, actually. For me, though, we welcomed back Tale Holmes, proud Fijian, back into the game. She's a proud mum, just recently gave birth only a couple of months ago, and she's back out onto the field. So for the Sharks, I think they're excited about, they'll definitely be excited about that. However, their performance on the field is not reflecting very well in terms of how well they're doing off the field as a team.
Yeah, Tale Holmes, the Fijian women's international captain. I didn't even realise she'd been missing for some time and missed some footy, but it's good to see her back. And another quite dominant score, the Roosters over the Warriors.
I didn't see this one coming either.
66 points to 8. What stood out to you in this dominant performance from the Sydney Roosters?
Oh, that was a tough game again. I think when you look at the Warriors' lineup, Uppy Nichols wasn't there. They ended up losing their fullback, and Gail Broughton ended up going back to the fullback position. For the Roosters, though, they're looking really good, and just their ability to push support, I think that really opens up the game for them. Tina Naividi, she was outstanding for them. 5 tackle breaks. She's another proud Fijian. I think when you look at the team that Fiji will put into the World Cup, you're definitely going to see players like them enter in that.
When you think of the Roosters, is it theirs to lose? Like, are we seeing a separation between them, daylight, than everyone else?
No way. Have you just seen the Titans?
I know the Titans. I know the Titans.
They're the real deal.
They are, but the Broncos fall out of the top four for the first time ever. So there's obviously shakeups in this NRLW competition for this year, but the Roosters seem like a class above when it comes to dominating their opposition.
I think for the Roosters, they just have a lot of experience. They're, with the Warriors, when you watch the lineup of the Roosters last minute, they ended up taking some of their smaller forward pack onto the bench, and they played a bit of their bigger pack to start with, which matched the Warriors. And I think when you've got a coach like Strangey who's able to adapt well and make those fine adjustments, they end up making the cohesion of the team a lot better. So they work well. They're not as tired. It's able to dominate like they did on the weekend.
I will save the West Tigers for Friday when we speak to Sala Tomatuki, because
she must be one happy lady right now. Like, honestly, got the job buzzing. Done.
Yeah, 27 points to 26 over the Knights. And before I get to the Titans win over the Broncos, I know you're waiting for us to mention the Cowboys. Their win over the Dragons, 32 points to 28. What stood out to you in this game?
Oh, for me, my nails were almost gone by the end of that game. It was stressful to watch. But Esa Banu ended up scoring her first ever try in the NRLW. She ended up scoring two in that one game alone. So that was really outstanding for her. I think her fitness-wise, she's definitely improved in that and been able to push out more minutes in the game. So looking very excited to see Esa come into the World Cup team.
Well, if you wanted to listen to Esa Banu on Nijan Footy, you can find that wherever you get your podcast. It's a great interview. I loved having that chat with Esa, and it's good to see her scoring her first NRLW try and second.
Yeah.
The Raiders, they got up over the Bulldogs, 48 points to 4. They find themselves in the fourth position on the NRLW ladder. But the Titans, are they the real deal now that they've got that victory over the Broncos, 28 points to 20?
I think so. I think no one was expecting this ladder, looking at Roosters first, Titans second, West Tigers up there in third, and the Raiders at fourth. I think, though, the Titans, they are just absolutely amazing. 28 points to 20. And when you think of a local derby, you know, the Broncos pulled out every move. But for them, I think they're really missing their captain and Ali, previous captain and Ali Brigginshaw. Tamika Upton is their now current captain. But for the team, I think for the Titans, Avani Asaka has come back from giving birth and she's absolutely outstanding for them. But it is Tegan Levi. Her game awareness, she's very fresh to the game, but her ability to run and find space when it isn't necessarily space just gives them that little bit on top of the other teams.
Yeah, she just got that, you know, that athletic, competitive nature and just seems to compete on every play. So really enjoying watching her play the game of rugby league and her transition over.
Do you reckon she's the best cross-coder that's come over so far, like in recent times?
Oh, I think it's a tough one because it depends what position you are playing. Stacey Waka has been another great example of that.
Yep.
She ended up scoring a really good try for them. Avania Asako, previously known as Avania Polite, she's been very strong and dominant in the rugby league game. So I think it's very dependent on the positions they play. But for Tegan Levi, being in that half and being able to control the game, I think she's done that really well.
Before we let you go, who's been your favourite player, that number one player who you think has really impressed you this season so far after the first eight games?
Oh, that's a tough one. I am always a big Esa Banu fan. For me, I think whilst the Cowboys have ridden the waves of the highs and lows, I think she's been someone who, after last season, has definitely improved a lot.
Awesome.
Love
Thank
it.
Thank you again, Shelley, for your knowledge and your update on the NRLW. We'll catch you next week on Nijan Footy Mondays.
Thanks so much, team.
Thanks, Shel. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bulavinaka. Lotte Tungiri here, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Well, Sammy, we've dragged him out of bed. He is no stranger to Nijan Footy. We've brought him the big guns, and I feel like I'm talking to two, how can I say this in the right, respectful manner, two advocates for rugby union, one for Australia, you, Sammy, and Lima, you in New Zealand. But I brought the cuz on the show to give us an update. Lima Sopuanga, former AB, former All Black, but also a proud Samoan and Cook Islander. Leems, reporting live from South Africa. Thank you very much for jumping up early in the morning to join us on Nijan Footy, brother.
Hey, bro, don't worry about it, man. It's all good. Hey, don't just say rugby union, bro. You're not seeing me at the Wires game, brother.
He's the cross coder. He's the cross coder with mate, Stephen
I'm
Adams
a sports
now.
Presenter, brother. I'm a sports presenter.
I did Hold like that, now. And it kind of looked a bit different seeing you in the Warriors jersey, and I was like, pretty sure he played for St. Mary's in the Penrith Junior Rugby League District and started his journey in rugby league, but just found out that you had to tackle and use your shoulders. So he just started to rugby junior. So, Leeds, how's South Africa, brother?
Oh, bro, honestly, like, I feel like a kid at Christmas time, man. Like, honestly, To be here in South Africa with such a massive occasion, I felt it as soon as I stepped off the plane. There's just this air about this weekend, I reckon. Like, South Africa are keen for this. The All Blacks are keen. There's heaps of New Zealand supporters who have come over, have made the trip talked to some people who have, you know, like they saved up for a few years, and they said this was like a dream trip. And yeah, just bro, I just can't believe what my current life has been like, to be honest. But it's crazy cool, man. It's crazy cool.
Bryce, I've been really enjoying your content, eh? And, you know, the All Blacks, obviously I'm a diehard Wallaby supporter, and when I'm watching the All Blacks prepare over in South Africa, I forgot what it was like to be over there and play Super Rugby games over there and seeing some of the old footage. I was talking to T on our show just before around what it was like to stand out in the middle of the park and watch the Bulls run out at Loftus to that Afrikaans song, and they're sprinting, they're massive. And I was like, holy, that's right. I forgot about that feeling. And now you don't really appreciate it when you're in the moment. But for yourself, like you're seeing it from a different lens now, from the media side of things. You know, what's it like sort of going over there and seeing what rugby means to South Africa, but yeah, capturing the event from more of like an entertainment fan point of view rather than just a player?
You forget the enormity of how big rugby union is in some countries. And in South Africa, they live and breathe it. And, you know, sort of, I've got here yesterday morning and I got to walk around the mall and people are like just talking about the Springboks, but also talking about the All Blacks. And, you know, despite what you see online, there's a real mutual respect from both nations. And there's a massive respect from South Africa. Like, make no qualms about it. It's the people here die hard for their team, but they also understand that there's such a rich history between these two proud nations, and that they're going to support their nation to the death, but they're also going to have the respect that the All Blacks are in town. They know that this is going to be tough and it's not going to be a walkover. But like you said, those moments running out at Loftus or Ellis Park or, you know, the Shark Tank up in Durban, unless you've been here, you can't fully quite understand the enormity of it. And it is daunting places to be. And especially if you've gone there and been on the back of a hiding. Like, I remember going to Ellis Park. Bro, we were up 25 points at halftime. Got to the 60th minute and we fell off a cliff and we lost the game by one. So it's not easy to win in South Africa, especially in Johannesburg and especially at Ellis Park.
I want to get to your transition into the media space shortly, but we have to mention it. You know, you make your All Blacks debut in South Africa. You're young, early 20s, 2015, and you get the starting fly half role there. Does it bring back the memories being there now after, what's that, 11 years later? Does it bring back some good memories from your debut for the All Blacks?
Yeah, bro. And even talking to some of like old coaching, like the coaching staff here or management or even some of the players, and they ask you questions about it. And I don't think you truly get to appreciate something like that until you're out of it, until you're removed. Because when you're in high performance sport, it's all about like win now. You know, like you're trying to earn another test jersey, you're trying to keep your spot on the team. Sometimes you forget to smell the flowers, you know what I mean? And and for me, I'm here now and I'm like, far, I actually debuted here in the number 10 jersey against South Africa. And when I look at the team, like we had like, all right, Aaron Smith on the inside, Ma'anoni on the outside, Conrad Smith. I had Izzy Dagg, Ben Smith, Charles Pietau, you know, and on their side, they had guys like Schultberger, Eben Etzebeth, who's going to play this weekend. I'm pretty sure they had Brian Habana. When I think back to it, I'm just like, whoa, that's actual crazy because, you know, not many people will get thrown into a cauldron like that and be given a test jumper on such a massive occasion. We ended up winning 27-20. I was able to kick 12 points off the boot, had a pretty decent game. But, yeah, when I look back, I'm just like, I really got to go there and really got to do it on the biggest stage. And, yeah, it's pretty I almost feel like now, though, maybe a little bit more proud that I'm here now instead of when I was playing.
I want to shift over gears to your transition. I think from when we last spoke on Nigerian footy, you were at the beginning of that journey, but then to be able to see you do your thing in the media space in New Zealand and be an advocate for rugby union and also rugby league. I will mention that one as well with the WAS, but you know, as an older cousin now, I'm super proud. But what are your thoughts now being in that space?
Bro, honestly, like, I actually think, like, this could be almost better than actually playing rugby union. And obviously, I probably am in this position because I've played for the All Blacks before and I understand what this environment takes. And, you know, they probably don't invite anyone in who does social media, you know? Like, I think I tread on the caution of understanding that, like, there's probably times in this campaign where I know where to push the content and times where I know where to pull it. But that comes on the back of being in this environment and understanding how much of a pressure cooker it is. But also understanding that, like, sometimes they probably need a laugh rather than more than anything else. And I think my content journey is just, I can't even explain it. At the start, I was like, oh, bro, this is, like, so shame. Like, I remember vividly having a chat with my wife, Miriam, and when I started, I had listened to, like, I told this story so many times, Louis Davis, and he told us, and he said, make 30 videos for 30 days. And he was like, at the end of his conversation, he said, I reckon two of you guys will do this. And then he goes, no, I reckon one. And he goes, actually, I reckon none of you guys will do this. And in my head, I was like, bet then. I want to show you, bro. Like, he, like, tapped into that competitive side. And so went home, sat there with my wife. I was like, hey, can we make these videos? Like, I didn't know what videos we're going to make. I just knew I was going to make 30, and I was going to do it every single day. And after that 30 days, I ended up gaining, like, 13,000 followers. And it's not even about the followers, but I was kind of like, maybe there's something in this. And then I just continue to put videos out there. Sometimes I was, like, inconsistent. Sometimes I went, like, you know, weeks without posting. Sometimes I went hard out. But I don't know, for the whole year, I just knew I was going to give it a crack. And my wife said she'll help me. And she was, like, I wasn't too sure what I was going to do. I could have gone overseas back to Japan or France and kept the boots on. And then she was kind of like, you know, why don't you give it 6 months? 6 months, like, didn't really have a job. Didn't really know where I was going to go post fully, like most dudes do. And I was just like, you know what? Like, stuff it. I'm gonna send it. And for, like, it wasn't even, like, before 6 months, bro. And I had, like, little ads that I was doing, like, on, like, Instagram. Like, I had one of my first ads, and one of the first ads I got, like, they paid me 10 grand for a reel. I was like, bro, I've cracked it. But, like, obviously that wasn't coming in every single week, but that kind of just gave me, like, confidence to just keep trying. And then, yeah, like, what was it? It's been, like, just over a week that I'd done it for a year, and it's open. Louis Davis was right when he sat there in this room and explained to us, like, content can change your life. And it changed my life. Like, and so when I look at it now, I wish I listened to my best friend, Alisana, when I was in England in 2015. He said, bro, I think he was working at Meta, or he was working somewhere to do with, like, social media. And he said, bro, you should make videos. Like, this is back in 2015. I was like, bro, that's Elo. You know, like, yeah, bro. That was just my own insecure self. Yeah. As a 24-year-old worried about what everyone else thought. But, like, now I don't really care. Like, if I'm making a video in a busy place and people are looking at me, but as long as I'm not intruding on anyone's privacy or getting in anyone's way, like, I'll make a video and I won't care what that person who walks past me thinks, because it's a fleeting moment and actually that person has no bearing on my life.
When you say that, bro, it's I'm really happy that you brought that up, because I think with players that have played the game are probably fearful and feel like they're an imposter if they're trying to make content. Maybe it's my age group too, because we didn't grow up with social media. But then I look at guys like the guy who does rugby bricks, the kick and see and stuff like that. He hasn't been to the heights of where you have, or say like a Tony Brown has or Dan Carter. But that ability to be able to shift and quiet down the noise in his head, he goes, I'm just going to post because I know what I'm doing
is worthy of posting, and I do it because I love it as well, and you can feel that come through. So, you know, how long did it probably take you to be able to get over that fear of going, oh, I don't care what everyone else thinks, this is what I'm doing it for me, and I'm happy doing it?
Bro, I still get those feelings now, even after a year. I got to meet Ulskiang once, and I featured in one of his like YouTube series. And I asked him, and one of the things he had said to me, and I've asked lots of people who are way bigger creators than me online, like what they do, and he was just like, "Bro, I just post it and forget." Like obviously, when you're starting out, you need to post and forget. Like on to the next one. Don't get caught up in these numbers. Don't get caught up in these followers. Like for me, anyway, it's like what you see is what you get. Like what I am online is what I am in real life. And there's no point in trying to fake who you are. And I think take inspiration from your favorite creators or who people you look up to, but also just have your own spin on it. And people are going to like you for you, you know, and you're not meant to be for everybody. That's also what I figured out is that even now, like when I post on videos, I'm like, oh man, but it really is a fleeting moment. So just post and forget, carry on. And, you know, just make another video, make another video. It's kind of like going to time zone. I link it to, it's like at time zone, the more tokens you put in the machine, the more tickets you're going to get, and the more tickets you're going to get, the bigger the prize. But you can only get the bigger prize if you keep putting more tokens in that machine. And so that's kind of like content. It's like make one video, make another video, make another video, and it compounds, and eventually that prize will be something you just don't know when and you just don't know how. And my prize right now is, bro, I'm sitting here in South Africa, bro, and I'm here for the 3 tests, then I go to America. And I'm getting paid to be here, but also getting to tell the stories of rugby's greatest rivalry. Like, bro, it's actually like out the gate.
How does rugby lean more into getting the personalities out? Because as you said, like the All Blacks have a brand, the Wallabies have a brand. Rugby has a brand where it's pretty, you know, straightforward. And sometimes when you want to go out of those, you colour outside the lines, it's like, oh, hang on a tick, come back in here. So how do we lean into it more?
Yeah, bro, I'm not too sure, to be honest. I mean, like, it's a hard one, eh? And I think, you know, like, if you're a rugby player at the moment, like, the space is wide open, bro. Like, the space is wide open for creators, especially, like, former players. And I think if you're just recently finished the game or know that you're finishing or coming close to it, like, you should get out there and make videos because that's the only way that we're going to get seen. The only reason why I got with Sky is because, bro, I turned up to women's games and I interviewed like women's players at women's games because they don't get much coverage. Like I went with like one of my really good friends, Levi, who like really helped me out at the start of my journey. I went to the Waikato women's game and I just did like practice interviews with them afterwards. Yeah, I think it's just showing what you can do now, like on your own platforms, will allow you into these spaces because that's the only reason why Sky saw that and gave me a crack at being on the panel. Obviously, I've played rugby, you know, like, yep, but they're not going to just give any bloke a chance if they don't know what you can do. And so, like, your credibility is your visibility. Like, if you're actually putting videos out there, like, the people that are in the space of hiring, they're online. They might not be active, but they're watching and they're looking for the next talent. And people will see that. And that's how I think we get these more colourful people. Because I believe there's probably way more guys who are better than me, funnier than me. But, you know, they probably don't get given a chance because they don't put themselves up there. And it comes back to the fact of, you know, you have to be willing to look a little bit silly when you start. You have to be willing to be a beginner. You have to be willing to look stupid. You have to be willing to start again. And that can be hard when you've been at the highest heights and had the highest success and been at the top level. You know, it's being a beginner again is very, very scary. But I actually believe that's maybe the best place to be.
Sammy, you brought up a name there and it reminded me of some training that you've been doing recently with Adi Savia. So my last question for you before we wrap it up, bro, is did you keep up with the legend himself and the skipper, Adi?
Oh, bro, you not see the clip, bro. I was hands over knees, like throwing up my guts at the end of it. But, you know, like for me, it's been pretty cool. And, like, obviously I've got a really special relationship with Artie. We're actually genuinely really, really good friends. Our families are good friends, our wives. And he rang me up and he's obviously seen what me and Shiloh have done. And he's like, "Oos, what are you up to?" I was like, "Oh, bro, you know, just doing the family thing." He's like, "Bro, I reckon you can come down and like do some content and train." And I was like, "Bro, I don't get paid for this, brother. I don't get paid for this, brother." But like, I was like, you know, like the All Black captain, bro, is ringing me and being like, "Bro, come down." And I was like, you know what? Like, let's just go do it. I rang my guy Shiloh. I was like, "Bro, there's this opportunity to go down. Like, let's make some content. Like, let's just, you know, see what happens." And like, I don't know. I just felt like, bro, the All Black captain is ringing you. And yes, he's my friend, but he also, like, he runs his content and his personal brand very almost sacredly. Like, he doesn't just, he said to me in the thing, he's like, "You know, I keep my circle small, you know?" And for him to allow me into that circle, into his family home, to have the trust of that has been pretty special. And yeah, like to your point, see, bro, I gave it everything I could, man. I gave it everything I could.
Old players connecting. I actually love seeing it. And then we'll say with T, when we watch that, you know, all the, we'll go, "Oh, mate, there's this commentary around Artie, you know, they've made the wrong decision leaving him at home and all this type of stuff." And "Cuz, don't worry, he's training with Lima. He's preparing with Lima to take on the South Africans." You can't get any prep than that.
Oh, bro, I know. And like on the first day after we were training, he was like, "Bro, I need to do like body contacts and, you know, like, you know, like tackles and like you need people like run into me." And I'm like, "Oh, bro, have you got bodies for that?" And he's like,
"Just me here."
He's like, "Bro, I was just going to do it with you." And I'm like, "Bro, one tackle, you're going to fold me like a deck chair." And I was just like, bro, I rang Charlie Gubb straight away. I was like, "Bro, can you come down, bring like a couple of big boys and like, can you guys do it?" And he's like, "Yeah." And if you hear me, see me in the thing, I'm like, "Yeah, good hit, boys. Good hit. You know, stay low, you know, keep driving your leg, bro." And I'm just like, "Bro, shut up. You couldn't make a tackle to save your life."
Oh, those are Charlie Gubb's boys. How good.
That's unreal, bro. Charlie Gubb. You've got no Eben Estabeth. You're no Eben Estabeth. You know, he's going to try and tackle him this weekend.
Bro, that's what I was saying. And he's like, "Bro, just use you." And I'm like, "Brother, like you've got 125, 130 locks coming down at you, not a freaking like 97 kilo freaking old man playing park footy." You know, like, but he was pretty stoked. Like, Charlie come down, who's like obviously come league background, he's a bit crazy. And afterwards, I was like, "Bro, that's a heavy ball, man. Charlie's a heavy body." Like, he was like, "Bro, that's pretty much like what he's gonna get when he plays South Africa." So that was pretty cool. Pretty cool moment.
Hey, bro. Well, again, man, I appreciate you for waking up early in the morning and jumping on Knees and Footy. On behalf of me and Sammy, man, we're just very, very proud of the work that you've been doing. You're an inspiration, and yeah, keep shining your light, because you know, you've got a lot of support and love from this side of the ocean in Australia. So appreciate you, brother. Much love.
Much love, man. Nah. I love you more than as a content creator than a player, bro. So it's like,
yeah.
I love you more now than back then, because you always beat me back in the day. But anyway, all good. I appreciate all your work, man. Much love.
Give me three answers for this one. Yes, our game of categories. Give me three, where one of us will ask the other a question and there's three answers and then we keep a score. And at the end of the year, the winner receives a jersey of their choice from the loser. I'm winning 32 points to 27.5. And it's your turn to ask me the question, Sammy.
All right, here we go. See, I've gone on the Warriors theme here, and I just had to have a look at if they've actually won a minor premiership before. When was the last time? I know they haven't won a premiership. I know that they've been in some grand finals, but if they've been minor premiers before, and they have. Can you guess what year that was, T?
No.
Okay. 2002. But give me three Pacific Island players that would have played in that team. And you know all these guys too, bro.
Wow.
Like that's prime time who we look up to.
That when is you a think great of, question,
when you think
Sammy.
About, and if you, and I'll give you a bonus point here because I love throwing things there. If you can guess who the fullback was, he's not Pacific Islander, but very famous. Very famous still in this day and age.
2002.
It is still very prevalent in this day and age.
And he's Pacific. No,
he's not Pacific, but that's for a bonus point question. But if you just give me three, and then there's a bonus. So there's 4 points up for grabs here.
2002, I believe Ali Lauatiti would have been playing then.
Oh, let's just see if Ali Lauatiti was in
surely
this. I'm in the round. I don't know who. I just went the last round.
Last round.
26. Yeah, yeah, this game.
Oh, you're kidding me. That's just narrowed it right down.
But you still, because Ali Lauatiti, they rested their players because they locked up the minor premiership. So they rested Ali Lauatiti. They rested Owen Guttenbill. They rested Stacey Jones. They rested Jerry Siusiu, Mark Tukey. But you still know these guys, bro. Think of their backs. Think of the backs. That's the key one because I know you'll know all these backs.
Okay. Okay.
And think like the try celebrations too. Who used to do the mad ones?
Yeah. Was it Richie Falongo? Is that his name?
Nah, but you're on the...
Nah, it's not Richie Falongo. I know, I've just had a mind blank. He had the braids too.
Yes, the braids. Come on, bro. You know him. He did the coconut try celebration. Remember when he...
Yeah. Well. Anyway, let me try and shift over a little bit because I'm having a mind blank with him. I'm going to get punished from my family too.
Come on,
because
man.
They all know.
And you know the center too, bro. You know, you think Warriors centers back in the day? You know this fella.
Let me put Motu Tony out there.
Motu Tony was not. Oh, hang on. Let me. I've got the 17 here. Motu Tony wasn't in that 17.
He wasn't.
No.
So he got rested as well.
From here, it says he wasn't there. At all.
Oh, man.
Come on, man. I thought you would have got these, like the like winger and centers. There's a lock there that you know, like number 30. You'd know this fella too. He's been on socials talking about the transition.
Oh, yeah. Having another mind blank.
Owen Guttenbill was one of the guys that I just said that was rested that game.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I'm going to give you a clue here. The winger that I'm thinking of that you'll know, he's got an English first name. And then the center that I'm thinking of, he's also got an English first name.
Nah, I'm drawing blank, so.
All right. Clue for the wingers, Henry.
Henry Fa'afili.
Yes, Henry Fa'afili is one of the wingers. There you go. Right. Okay.
Center. Henry Fa'afili, the famous, where did I get Fa'alongo from? Fa'afili. Henry Fa'afili. All right, give me the center. Where's the center?
Clinton.
Oh, Clinton Tupi.
Yes, Clinton Tupi.
Is he Samoan?
Samoan.
And then the last one is David Solomona.
Nah.
Name him out.
Sione Famuina.
Famuina.
Famuina was the other one. Did you say Motu Tony? Sorry. He was the 5'8 there. So you got
two.
Give you two.
Because you take away half a name.
I'll give you two. Bonus point question though. I'm all about love and giving out here. This guy is Barlangi, the number one, the fullback.
The fullback.
And he is like the family.
The family?
The family. Come on, bro. That's my hint there. The family.
Whoa. Really?
The family.
How many points am I getting?
You get one.
One?
Because then it was a bonus. The four were up for grabs.
Just because I was going to say, this isn't the answer. I was going to say Brent Webb.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say, I didn't even know he was a fullback. Ivan Cleary.
Ivan Cleary played fullback in this game. There we go, back in 2002. But anyway, that is our time up for Venetian Footy Mondays. Make sure you search Venetian Footy wherever you get your podcasts or find us on the ABC Pacific website. And we'll catch you on Friday.
We'll see you on Friday. Kākitu. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.